Today, we're going to continue on. I know last week, Pastor David was here, and he gave a wonderful message about being the remnant and understanding that God always has a remnant. But I'm going to get back to the sermon series that I had done, and I do apologize for not being here last week. However, I, too, had come down with COVID, and I got through it with one day of actually being sick. And I'm going to say this on international, whatever, however you want to look at it, ivermectin works. Plain and simple, okay? Ivermectin works. 24 hours, my fever was gone, I felt great. Man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, folks, there is hope, there is help, and let us take advantage of all that is out there. And in today, that's what I want to talk about. It's taking advantage of all that is out there. You know, the sermon title today is, again, Are You Ready for an Epiphany? Okay, are you ready for an epiphany? Part 3, knock, and it will be open to you. I think that this is one of the best teachings for this year and just what is coming in this year. And for us as Christians to understand what Jesus is talking about when he's speaking of these things in Matthew chapter 7. So if you would, open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're going to be back here in this teaching once again, and we're going to remind ourselves of the Word of God, from the Word of God, to the people of God, that we may walk with him in rule and measure by attaining to his Word. From the 7th verse of the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, we're going to read verses 7 and 8, and then we're going to jump all the way down to 24, because it's verse 24 that correlates to where we're going to be today. From verse 7, he says to us, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Jesus here is talking to each and every one of us about the way we are to live our lives in Christ. We are to be people who seek the heart of God in all that we are, to be changed by him, transformed by him. And the way that transformation happens is by asking God the questions, by seeking God in those questions, and then when he reveals the answers to those questions, knocking on the door of his heart and entering in with him. So many times we want God to answer our questions to our expectations. Nobody's ever been there, right? We want what we want, and we want it now. How about what God wants? Should we not seek God, ask God what he wants, seek God in the directions that we should go, and then once we are shown them, to open the door? Because you and I'm going to tell you right now, there's no way we're going to open spiritual doors. We don't have the keys. Outside of Christ Jesus, we are dead in Christ, okay? Outside of Christ Jesus, we are dead spiritually. But in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. Guess who has the keys? He is the key. He opens the doors. So we need to walk in this reality. And today we're going to be talking about the knocking section. I'm going to wrap it all up at the end, but what I want you to do is jump over to verse 24, because that's where I'm going to begin looking at what this means. And Christ tells us from verse 24, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Whoever hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." You and I are called here to reason with God. What is he talking about? He just got done telling us that we're supposed to knock. This is the third portion. And in that knocking, he will open the door unto us. The door of what? The door of his abode. And the house of God here is compared to a person who built their house on a rock solid foundation, that whatever comes against it shall not prevail. So if we ask God for direction, if we ask God what we should be doing in the things that we're supposed to do, we then need to begin to seek God for the answer to that question, the depth of that question. We need to understand within ourselves that it's not necessarily your expectations that God is wishing to fill, but it's his expectations for your life, a better life than what you can bring. I'm going to tell you right now, and I want you all to answer this question very seriously. When you look at your life and you're the one making the decisions, how well does it go for you? Yeah, I like that. Okay, that was about the honest question answer over there. Because that's the way it works. When we have to empower it, there are things that we can do, but we can only take it so far, right? So how many of you like living that so-so life? Are we happy in mediocrity? Or do you want excellence in your life? Do you want the power of God in your life? Do you want life and life abundantly? Do you want peace in your life? And I'm not talking the peace that, oh, everything's going to be happy and hunky and dory. I'm talking about peace between you and God, as peace that surpasses all understanding. No matter what comes your way, there is an answer to it, and that answer is the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are never, you know, I love Miss Jen. You all know I love Miss Jen. And she says something to us all the time, and we need to hear her say it. Don't let him rob your joy. In Christ Jesus, we have joy. When we get the order perfect, Jesus Christ over yourself, we have got to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do, and we place him over ourselves, that he is Lord and Master, all of a sudden life begins to find a way, doesn't it? And we find that there is joy, there is hope, there is love, there is peace. Oh, my heavens. And it is abounding unto us. But there's something we need to do that goes beyond asking and seeking to the point of knocking. Jesus here is telling that to us. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. And it says here in verse 24 a very important thing. It says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and what? Acts on them. You and I are called into action with God. That when the Lord tells us something, we must move. That's knocking on the door of God's heart. That is following through with what he has shown us. You know, I want us to understand that God here is telling us that there is something more out there for each and every one of us. How many of you right now, where you are, say, yep, I have reached my pinnacle of life. I don't need nor want anything more. Yeah, I didn't think so. Nobody's raised their hands. Because how many of us are at a place where everything bows at our feet? I love Brother Wendell's expression there. Yeah. Yeah. There's only one person to whom all these things are going to bow. And the scripture tells us that. That time will not come until the Lord has made a footstool, till the Father has made a footstool of all the Lord's enemies, and they bow at his feet. Okay? That's going to come after the tribulation, folks. We are going to have light and momentary troubles through this life. But if you want to get through them, if you want to succeed in them, if you want God's blessing in your life, we need to ask, we need to seek, and we need to knock. And then we need to enter in, okay? How many of you, when you were younger growing up, played doorbell ditch? I don't think there's a person in this room that didn't play doorbell ditch. You would either run up to the door, ring the doorbell, and then run away and wait for the people. You'd be laughing at them because they'd come outside and there's nobody there. Or you'd knock on the door because, you know, us older folks, they didn't have electric doorbells when we grew up. You had to knock on the door. Miss Dottie says, no, we didn't do that. We were good kids. We'd have got beat. And it's funny because I think about that. How many of us play doorbell ditch with God? We get right up to the door, and then we turn around and walk away because it's not exactly where we want to go. It's not exactly the path that I want to take because it means self-discipline. How many of us love self-discipline? Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, one of the greatest aspects of life is truly self-discipline through the Lord. Through the Lord, okay? I'm not talking about Martin Luther self-discipline where he would flagellate himself with whips because he had these bad thoughts in his head, all right? That's just stupidity, and he knew that after a time. What I'm talking about is the self-discipline that says God knows what is best for me, and it's denying self. Don't try to beat it out of yourself. It's not going to work. But allow God to do a work in you and enter in to those situations that He opens up before you and find yourself transformed by the love and grace of God. What do I mean by that? How can I show you what this is all about? Well, if you remember, I've been talking to you about the years and the numbers of the years for the last couple weeks. What year is this in the Hebraic calendar? 5782. Okay, 5782. Does God have a word for us in those numbers? How about the year 2022? Well, the last 2 weeks, I showed you some of the things that God has in store for us. Why am I going there? Why am I doing this? Because I need you to understand something. How many of you out there want to see different results in your life? Good results. Yeah, and all of us can raise our hands. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. So I took a really weird approach to the beginning of this year, looking at the numbers of the year. How many of you have ever heard me do that before? Yeah, none of you. Because numerology is something I look at, but I put no stock into it because, number one, it's not in the Word of God. But what does the Word of God say out of those numbers? Well, this is the amazing thing. I want you to turn to the 82nd verse of the Old Testament. The 82nd verse of the Old Testament. How many of you know what verse that is? Yeah, none of you do. That's okay. Neither did I. I had to look it up too. Genesis chapter 4, verses 2. That's where we're going to begin. Genesis chapter 4, verse 2. Genesis, in the fourth chapter, beginning in the second verse. I'm going to put a bookmark there because we're going to be coming back to that area. Beginning in the second verse, this is the 82nd verse of the Old Testament. Now, I'm going to read more than just the 82nd verse because the 82nd verse begins a story. And I believe it's the story that God wants us to understand when it comes to knocking on the door of God's heart. From the second verse. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought the first fruits of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Wow, that doesn't sound very good, does it? I wonder what it can mean. Well, let's turn to the 82nd verse of the New Testament and see if there's a contrast. Do you think there's going to be a contrast? Let's turn there and find out. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to be in verse 16. That's where we need to begin. That's the 82nd verse. That's the 82nd verse of the New Testament. Remember, we're looking at the year 5782. So we're looking at year 82. And the 82nd verse says thus unto us. And again, it's the beginning of a story, so we're going to read it through that story. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. And from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Do you see a contrast here? Do you see what was going on? I need you to understand, I want you to understand what is meant here by this word. Because as we look to the book of Genesis and what happened there, God entered into a conversation. And he was talking to Cain, telling Cain that the sacrifice that he brought was not suitable, but that if he would bring a proper sacrifice, it would be suitable. However, rather than entering in with God into that truth, he chose to reject God and kill his brother. He did not enter into that which would make him whole, make him holy, and give him purpose in life and make him a right between himself and God. And then we have the contrast of Jesus Christ and the New Testament and the calling of not just one set of brothers, but two sets of brothers. For light had come into the world, that is Jesus Christ. And repentance was being preached. And in that, Jesus Christ approached two sets of brothers. And they left everything to follow him. Do you understand what I'm telling you today? You and I cannot live our lives and expect God's expectations if we live by our expectations. Our expectations are of this world because we are sinners. We are separated from God because of sin in our lives. It is only by the power of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the redemption of God, that we can even understand the truth that is set out before us. But as we accept the Lord, as we move into the teaching that he has brought into our lives, as we enter in with him, his expectations, God will draw us out from the things of this world, and they will mean nothing to us. How many of us placed all our wealth, all our worth, I should say, in the things of this world? I'm talking to Christians, and I'm going to tell you all right now, and we can't lie about this. We can say, oh no, I don't. Really? How about if you give everything you have to the church? How many of you are willing to do that right now? Raise your hand. Yeah, I didn't think so. But pastor, I need to live. Yeah, you think God doesn't know that? So do I. I don't want your stuff. Number one, I wouldn't know what to do with it because I'm a sinful man too. Number two, God doesn't want you to give up your stuff. He wants you to give up your attitudes. He wants you to give up the principles of this world that you're trying to live by. He wants you to give up the self. That's what these gentlemen did. They left everything. They left everything to follow Christ. And in that everything, God wants you to give up all your sin. Folks, I really want you to understand this. God does not expect you to give up your livelihood. Now, for some of us, he does. How about it, sweetie? Selling the farm, leaving the machine trades. And, you know, for some of us, yeah, he says, I'm calling you out. But for others, he wants us to, where we are, he wants us to be used. Because that's what he has for you. Where you are. Because God says you have worth. Each and every one of you here, he loves you so much. Right where you are, he wants you to minister to the people around you. He wants to minister to you. He wants to touch your heart that you know he cares about you, that he loves you, you, you. And nothing you can do will separate you from that love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Do you know that? Nothing you can do will separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. How many of us push that envelope? Yeah. We push it. Why do we do that? Because of what this world has taught us. How many of us have been let down by the things of this world? That if we push it too far, there's a breaking point, and it says, nope, I'm done with you. You're worthless. We've all heard those things. And if we've not heard them, we've seen them in the attitudes of people around us, in the attitudes of employers, in the way the government treats us. You know, I think it's amazing. Who makes the employers money? We do. Who pays the government? We do. But yet we're worthless. What? Without them, or without us, they cannot survive. But the world wants to control you to such a point that you feel worthless, that you have to do these things because, you know, it's my duty. Oh, I have to do them. God says, no, I'll give you purpose. I will give you the desires of your heart. You know, today I asked the young people, and it was funny. You know, I asked them, I said, what is your dream job? And the one young lady said, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? And she's not here because she said, I wanted to be a veterinarian, but I can't really bear with putting an animal down. And then I wanted to become a nurse, but I really don't want to deal with people puking and messing in bedpans. And it was like, it's understanding that in this world, there is no perfect place. We're all going to have disappointments in everything that we are and everything that we do. But if we are doing them unto the Lord, there is only joy in the Lord. Because as we are serving those people who need our care, as we are serving those animals and those families who are losing a loved pet, a beloved pet, that becomes a child, for heaven's sakes. In many people's lives, that is one of the hardest places to meet them. We need to understand your expectations are not everything. God's expectations are, because he will teach us so much more if we will knock on that door and enter in. Man, it's not just knocking on the door. We want to knock on the door. Oh, yeah, I'm eager. But then when he opens the door and we see what's in there, how many of us really want to go in? The reality is, until you enter in, you have no idea the joy, the glory that you are going to truly see and experience. It's scary when you're outside because we don't know what's in there, but I know who's in there. And so do you. And he's calling you in. He wants you to enter in. And it's so amazing because we know, I want you to think about this. What happened to Cain? Cain lived a long life, didn't he? Cain lived a long life, but it was a cursed life. What happened to the brothers? They all died early because they were crucified, they were martyred, they were stabbed with swords, they were cut in half. Let me ask you this. of all that we've just spoken, of Cain and of Peter and his brother and of John and his brother, who of them is receiving glory now? Who of them is living forever in the righteousness, the peace, the presence of God Almighty? Who has hope beyond hope? Who has glory beyond glory? Who has treasure beyond treasure? Life beyond life? Yeah. What this world tells you to hold on to are the things you need to throw away. But what God tells you to throw away, do so. Because in that you will truly be laying up treasures in heaven. Can I get an amen in this church? It's not going to be easy. But it's the most worthwhile thing you will ever do. Because as we ask God, that means our hearts have to be right with Him. As we seek God, our hearts need to be transformed to truly find those answers. And sometimes we're going to have to look in places that we've never looked before, like looking at the numbers of the years. I mean, I just think this is amazing. In the 82nd verse of the Old Testament, the 82nd verse of the New Testament, what do we find? The very reality that I'm trying to teach you. So is God in it? You better believe He is. He is bigger than any of us know. And He is here to love on you. To love on you. That's His life. That's what He wants. So ask God. Seek God. Knock on the door of His heart. And what does verse 8 say will happen when we do those things in the book of Matthew in the chapter 7? What does it say is going to happen? God will ignore you, right? That's what it says. No, it doesn't. Root's over here like, no, what Bible are you reading? What does verse 8 say? Read it with me. Read it out loud. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. That is God's definitive statement to you. That is a promise you can take to the eternal bank of heaven. If you knock, if you ask, it will be given unto you. If you seek, you shall receive. And if you knock, it shall be opened unto you. But we have to be the ones to do that work. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is going to mean transformation of who you are, of what you believe, and where you're willing to go. And as we do, we will. And I think this is amazing because I want you to think about something. How many of you are prepared to seek God? How many of you are willing to ask God? Yeah. That's a starting place. Remember, Jesus here is showing us the progression of our salvation. It begins by asking. And it's amazing because guess what He does when you ask? You still receive. So when I ask, I receive, but there's two times more yet to be received. Oh, so you mean if I then seek after Him, I'm not only going to get that answer, but He's going to take me deeper into a much greater relationship? Yeah. Because now when you seek, you're going to find. And what you find is going to be a door that leads to the very heart of God. But then we have to knock on that door and open it. Brothers and sisters, this is a threefold blessing. What's a threefold blessing? We just sang the doxology, amen, right? We sang the threefold amen. What is a threefold blessing? Let it be, let it be, let it be. If God is telling us He's going to give us a threefold blessing, how much is He going to bless you? Not once, not twice, but three times. Three times. How many of you want to live in that kind of blessing? For the year 2022, 5782, it is my prayer that we will begin to live as the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, to live in this reality. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, we know from the teaching that I've already shown you, this is going to be a tough year. It's going to be a year of chaos and disorder. That's 22 simplified to 11. But we also know what 22 is, right? 22 is fullness, because there are 22 letters in the Greek or in the Hebrew alphabet. We also know it is light, because on the lampstand there are how many buds and flowers? 22, the number of fullness. And it's in those 22 that there's three rows of seven and one on top that we realize this is representing who? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God three in one. The light of the world. Whew! I can't make this stuff up. We also know from 5782, we know that this is going to be the year that the house of God needs to speak, for out of the mouth of the house of God is going to be spoken into this world a blessing, because we're in a Shemitah year. A blessing that is the fullness of God. In this Shemitah year, we need to be trusting God. We need to be resting in God. Amen. How many of you are going to rest in God this year? Last year was pretty daggone tough, wasn't it? And it was something to get through. And I'm going to tell you right now, this year is not going to stop. It is not going to be any better. It's going to be worse. All right? I hate to say it, it's just the way things are. We all know things get better before, or things get worse before they get better. But they do eventually turn around. So we're looking for that turnaround. How many are looking for that turnaround? Guess who has to turn this around? This can only be turned around by the love of God. And the only way that's going to happen is if we put ourselves into a Shemitah year, where we are allowing God to manifest His blessing in our lives. Man, do you know what the word manifest means? What does the word manifest mean? It means to bring into existence. God is going to bring into existence a blessing for us that seems like it could never come. How many of you look towards a manifold blessing of the Lord this year? Because that's the epiphany that I am talking about. Are you ready for an epiphany? Because I'm sure all of you have been wondering, what does this all teaching have to do with an epiphany? We are talking about God manifesting Himself in our presence. That's what this is all about. If you want God to manifest His presence in your life, ask, seek, and knock, and open that door. Open that door. And walk into the grace, the love, the power, and the purpose of God Almighty. Can I get an amen? Pray with me, dear people. Father God, we thank You so much for this day. And we ask, Lord, that You would bless us to the fullness of Your love and Your life. For as we walk in that truth, Lord, so too may we find the hope that is Christ Jesus. And as we are changed, as we are asking, as we are seeking, as we are knocking and being transformed by Your power to the will of Your love, to the purpose of Your calling, that we would truly find the joy, the hope, the peace, and the love that is our inheritance, even now, in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.